Psalm 84. Notice the title of this psalm. To the chief musician upon Kiddah, a psalm for or of the sons of Korah. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the force of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and swallow a nest for her young, for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, or as I have thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, or the highways to Zion. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, to us. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy court is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tent of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. And that's all that we will read, and we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. I often say the very reading of the word of God is of more value than anything we may attempt to say about it. Every word of this blessed book is God-breathed. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now you note the title of the psalm that we read, a psalm of the sons of Korah. These are Levites who were some of the descendants of those that led in the rebellion, had evidently been brought back again to God, and now the writer tells us that these men were linked with David, they were linked with the temple, and evidently guardians of the doors of that edifice. And it's possible that the psalmist, or whoever it was that wrote the psalm, could have been associated with David in the time of his rejection, in the time of his flight from Absalom. But what impresses me in looking at the psalm is the longings of his heart. The theme of the Bible reading that we were enjoying this morning was the idea of the believer out of devotion and affection to the person of Christ seeking after God. Hands still. He's saying, don't we consecrate thee now to thy purpose, Lord, by the power of love divine. And it seems that seems to be the mind of the psalmist, because again and again he mentions in this psalm God's house, God's altar, God's dwelling place, and the pant of his heart seems to be, God's presence. Now I would ask myself, as you can ask yours today, is the desire of your heart God's things, God's courts, God's people? He says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of wickedness. Again, he says, a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. A thousand what? Well, I would simply suggest it's better than a thousand anywhere else. And the heart that's drawn out in true devotion to the Master finds its rest, as we see in the psalm, when he's among God's people and he's in God's house, in spite of what so many are doing today, turning away from the peace of God. Now, a simple way to look at the psalm are the divisions that are marked by blessing. Verse 4, for instance, we could read it literally, and again verse 5, and again verse 12. Oh, the blessedness of not only the man that dwells in the house of God, but the man who says that's where his heart is. Now, dear brethren, that's what counts for God, is heart work. Sometimes we can get overly occupied with service, and we would never decry service. But you remember the word from the Lord, my son, give me thy heart. And God is looking for the devotion of the heart of the believer. And when we get past all of the theology, and we appreciate that, God desires your heart and my heart. That's what the psalmist says. That's where his heart was in God's presence. Now you notice something that I want to suggest simply of the pathway of the pilgrim as he moves through God's scene. As I've intimated, he seems to be at a time away from the house of God. But something has happened. Perhaps a chain of events in his life. And he's been drawn back again, wooed by devotion to the Master. And he says, how lovely, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, even fainteth, for the courts of my God. And the prospect of the pilgrim was to dwell in God's house. Now, in a godless world, some of us would attest to the fact that there's nothing here that really satisfies. You see, animal life, bird life, plant life, they all belong in this environment. But as far as the believer is concerned, this world is not our normal habitat. You and I are pilgrims and strangers. So the some of God's people have never known what it is to be separated from other believers. Some of us can remember during the war days when against our better judgment, we were called to the forces. It was at a jail, and the jail didn't appeal to the speaker. I can remember being away for a number of weeks, not seeing a believer that I knew of. I was going home on leave for the weekend. I came from my ship up through New York City, got off of the large Grand Central Station with its teeming thousands of people. Military men, husbands and wives, some saying goodbye, others coming home again. And I thought I heard singing. And as I looked around among that throng, I saw a black man up on the balcony. It was Easter weekend, and he was strolling back and forth, booming out with a beautiful baritone voice. Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his soul. And I thought, I'm getting close to some believer. And some of you know nothing about being separated from the people of God. But you see, there's something of the longing of the heart during those experiences. And the psalmist now recognizes those longings about to be fulfilled. He says, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Well, I wonder, is that the attitude of your heart and my heart today? I was noticing recently, in Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah refers to some that found the keeping of the Sabbath a hard thing. Others joyed in it, but there were those that found it something that was hard to do. Our dear brethren, you and I should find the gatherings of the people of God the norm of our life. There are so many today, and they fail to recognize that the only place of rest and joy and contentment is among the people of God, assembly gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus, that own and honor Christ as Lord in the midst of his people. Notice what he says now in verse 3. He finds a place of communion, a place of rest, a place of joy. And he sees the sparrow and the swallow making their nest. As he says, even as I have thine altars. You see, there's that worthlessness of that little bird, the sparrow. And God says there's not one falls to the ground, but he knows about it. And there's the restlessness of the swallow, so typical of our age. You see, this world that we're living in is geared to monopolize and to motivate and to control the activities of everyone. I could tell you a friend that are in industry. I talked to an executive not too long ago from the General Motors. And he told me that if he would stay overnight in the plant, they'd make arrangements for that. You see, big industry wants the individual body, soul, and spirit. And dear brethren, we need to be on the guard that we're not snared by this restless world. Everything is geared to control the mind. The world of art, the world of culture, the world of literature, everything is so geared to appeal to a nature that's restless. But how good when at times like this we can sit quietly in the presence of our God and we can hear his voice. He says, as the swallow has found a house, sparrow and the swallow and nest, where she may lay her young, even I have thine altars, O God, my King, my God. Then notice again quickly, he says, there are blessings associated with the house of God. You want blessing in your life? And I appeal to young believers today, young couples perhaps. You'll take it from a grandfather 7 times over, won't you? You want the blessing of God in your life. You seek to honor God in every way. Good God first. He says, render unto the Lord the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. That's Christianity. That's getting down to the real things of life. Recognizing that God wants to grow. That's lordship. That comes in later in the Roman epistle where we were this morning. You see, there are so many of us, and we may be willing to give our Lord Jesus a little place in our vessel as we move heavenward. But you see, He wants to be captain of the ship. He wants to have sovereign control in the life of the believer. And the results in blessing, all the blessednesses, He says, are for those, not only who are in His house and where He dwells, but when the heart is there, whose hearts are the highways to God. But then there's times in the progress of the pilgrim when he needs an anchor for the soul, when he needs something that he can get hold of that will stabilize him as that little vessel is rocked by the storms of life. You know, when God saved me, I can hardly believe it, so many years ago, over 50, and I thought there'd never be a ripple in my little ocean. Everything will be calm. But you know, I soon discovered that that wasn't so. God has not promised skies ever blue, flowers bloom halfway all the way through. And the pathway of the believer is what the psalmist is speaking of in verse 6, as he mentions the valley of Lebe. God says He makes it a well. You see, while God puts the tears of the believer in His bottle, God expects us to put our tears into His well. You see, that's a place of refreshment. That's a place of blessing. And right across this world of ours, and I've been in a good bit of it, no matter where we are, there are many broken hearts among the people of God. And they're looking for something at the end of the tunnel. And it all seems to be dark. There's disappointment in family members. There's unsaved loved ones. There are those that they thought were a friend. They've let them down. And they're passing through the valley of weeping. You see, Baca is not so much a locale as it is an experience. Ever been there? The valley of Judah. Ah, dear brethren, listen. Shall I quote from the Hebrew epistle? There's one that tells us to draw near. There's one that has passed through the heavens. He's touched with a feeling of our infirmity. Tested it in all points, like as we are, sin apart. And there's one that cares and that knows and that understands every circumstance in your life today. I may be speaking to some believer unknown to me. You're passing through the deep water. Mind you, if you're not there, it won't be long until you may be there. You see, that part of the experience of the pilgrim. But he says, as he passes through the valley of weeping, he makes it a well. The rain also filleth the pool, and the tears of the people of God make this experience a place of blessing, refreshment. You see, after the storm, there's always the sunshine, the rainbow. And the path of the believer oftentimes is through the deep waters. And I can tell you, believers today, and their hearts are broken. And the only one that knows about it is themselves and God. But thank God, it has resulted in refreshment and blessing in your life. You know what the Lord says? If ye be without chastisement, you're not a son. The writer to the Hebrews tells us that it's a proof of sonship. Again, says that Hebrew epistle, not only does it prove that I belong to Christ, but it produces fruit in my life. Thank God when there's blessing. Think of the apostles. As he asked the Lord to remove the thorn in the flesh, and he prayed 3 times for it. But the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul was brought to the point in life when he could bow to the will of God. You see, that's the acme. That's the high point of Christian experience. When we can say, till that God blesses is our good, and unblessed good is ill. All is right that seems both wrong. If it be his will. You know what Paul learned? That the power of Christ will rest upon. He would know more of the power of Christ in his life because of the storms and the circumstances of the way. So says the psalmist, passing through these experiences, the rain fills the poor. They go from strength to strength. You see, here's faith's anchor. Here's an anchor for the soul. Just as our Lord Jesus has entered in. You know, the idea is a vessel that because of the shoals and the depths of the water is unable to get right into the harbor. But there's a small vessel goes out from that ship and it carries the anchor. And when it's inside safely in the shelter of that harbor, the anchor is put down. And that ship is absolutely secure. Dear brethren, that's what our blessed Lord has done. He has passed through the heavens. His presence there is absolute assurance that you and I will be there. He says, they go from strength to strength. That's the anchor for the soul. That's the assurance that we have in the midst of the storms of life. That is the man at the right hand of the Father. He's touched with a feeling of all infirmity. And loves his children to come and be ever in his life. Now, a little quickly, verse 8. He seems to arrive now, every one of them in Zion appears before God. And he says, O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. O God of Jacob, Selah. He seems to think of that son of Abraham, that son of Isaac, the grandson of Abraham that is coming home now to face his brother. After those years of servitude to his uncle Laban, he had deceived him. He withheld his wages. He gave him the wrong bride, the first bride. But now, Jacob's about to learn something of the way of transgressors. He's about to learn whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so he's dividing his companies and sending them out before him as he is about to meet Esau. And now a time of crisis arrives. And he cries to God, the first recorded prayer in the Bible. O Lord, he says, I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercy. Okay. Isn't that when you and I call upon God? A time of crisis? Some great happening in our life, and we don't know which way to turn, and it drives us to God. Dear brethren, God wants us to live in the atmosphere of heaven. Did you know that it's possible to be living in the heavenlies on the way to heaven? Possible to be in this world and yet distinct and separate from it? Possible to move for God through a godless scene and like the psalmist, looking for the ear of God, remembering the past and saying, O God, hear my prayer. He heard the prayer of Jacob. And the psalmist learns that his anointed was the one that delights to hear and to answer his prayer. And so in verse 10 now, he has arrived. He's been drawn back to God's house. He says, a day in thy court is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper, just at the door, a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of wickedness. And he ends by telling us something about the grace of God that was displayed in his life. That's what we heard this morning. Grace that God gives. Grace for the day. We're reminded of our dear brethren and sisters and what they're passing through. But God will give them grace. As thy days, he says, so shall thy strength be. And underneath are the everlasting arms. So he gives grace. And then he promises glory. And then there's guidance. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now I trust, dear brethren, that the ministry of the conference, the nature of it, will be conducive in weaning us from this godless world and drawing us back to God's day. That's the path of the pilgrim. You see, God will wean us from this world the easy way if possible, but the hard way is necessary. But thank God, there's one upon the throne. He bears our names upon his shoulders and upon his breast. We come today and we joy in God as we recognize that we're gathered with God's people. I trust that the conference will result in our interest, our life perhaps, being so transformed that we'll follow in the footsteps of the Master, that we'll seek His will, that the longings of our hearts will be His dwelling place until the day when hear the shout, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. The Lord bless his word.